Our first scripture this morning is from Psalm 85. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn him in their hearts. Surely his salvation is at hand for those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him, and will make a path for his steps. Word of God, word of life. Next reading is from Ephesians, the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the richness of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel according to Mark, the sixth chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah, and others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter, Herodias, came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. he went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took John's body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Yeah, the Gospel of the Lord. Kelsey's laughing. Oh, yeah. The worst reading ever. Yes, I concur. So whenever I write a sermon, it's basically my goal to bring you the good news. All of the studying and the work I do with the text is basically like excavation to dig out the good news, the gospel message, and then share it with you. But in today's gospel reading, there isn't any good news. Today's reading is simply a story of corruption and abuse of power and violence and death, which is not the story I really want to preach on this morning. I mean, especially with yesterday's events, I could really use some just plain old good news. But this is an important story. John the Baptist paved the way for Jesus with his preaching, and his arrest is what launched Jesus into public ministry. So let's take a look at this story and see what we can make of it. First of all, I want to make sure we know who all the characters are. So Herod, the name sounds familiar, but it's not that Herod, right? Herod the Great is not who we're talking about from this Christmas story. This is Herod Antipas. And Antipas was a tetrarch, which means that he was put in power by Rome and given close to absolute power over his section of the country. Really, as long as he didn't do anything against Rome, he pretty much had complete control and complete power. Then Herodias, if you'll notice there were two Herodias, that's not confusing at all. Well, the first one was the wife of Herod's half-brother before Herod took her as his own wife. And Herodias, by Mark, is painted as the villain in this story. But she's been taken by Herod. We don't know how she felt about it, but we know she would not have had any say in it. And she was put into this position where she's being shamed for this marriage. And without any direct power of her own and her position in the community at risk, she resorts to trickery. And she uses her own daughter to accomplish it, which is an example of sin leads to sin leads to sin. She has been taken against her will by Herod, and now she is misusing her own daughter. Which brings us to the second Herodias. We don't know for certain, but this is probably Salome, Herodias's daughter from her previous marriage. Art and literature have painted the daughter as some sort of a temptress, you know, doing some sort of a seductive dance, but there's nothing in the text that suggests that. What we know is that she's made to dance to entertain her stepfather's friends, and she's made a pawn by her mother. She's put in a terrible position. Now, while the story and later interpretations and a whole lot of artwork have laid most of the blame on the two women in this story, we know that it's Herod who has all the power. And it's Herod who makes the ridiculous pledge to give away up to half of his kingdom, which reveals his arrogance and his reckless abuse of power. And despite the fact that he has been moved by John's preaching, he has been drawn to John's teachings, and he recognizes in John someone who is righteous and holy, despite all of that, Herod has John killed rather than risk his own embarrassment. Herod ignores his conscience, the pull that John's message has on his heart. He ignores what he knows is right for the sake of maintaining his own power and privilege, for the sake of saving face. This gruesome story paints a vivid picture of the corrupting influence of unchecked power. Now notice who isn't in this story. Anybody missing that you noticed? Like Jesus? It's unusual. It's extremely unusual. It's the only story in the Gospel of Mark that doesn't have Jesus as a central character. And this is important detail to notice. Usually in the Bible, when we get these terrible stories of corruption and abuse of power, because there are a number of them, usually when this happens, a prophet steps in and calls out those who are abusing power. But there's no one here in this moment who speaks out against Herod's abuse of power, and it leads to death. So with no one to speak out against it, abuse of power leads to death. But the story also highlights the very real danger for the one who does speak out. Remember, John was arrested for speaking out against Herod's abuse of power when he took his brother's wife. The work of a prophet is risky work. In Mark's gospel, this story is reminding us of how much danger Jesus is putting himself in by bringing God's presence into the world, by speaking truth to power, and by proclaiming a message of hope for those who've been pushed down. This may have been a warning to those who were considering following Jesus that this is not something to be taken lightly. This is dangerous work. But it also paints a picture of why Jesus is doing what he's doing. It paints a vivid picture of the corruption and harm and abuse that happens when power is used to control rather than to serve. It paints a picture of the reality of the world in all of its brokenness. Like I said, this story by itself does not have any good news in it. But it points us to the good news of Jesus. Mark uses this horrible story as a vivid illustration of what it is that Jesus came to heal. Leading up to this story, Jesus has been healing and caring for people. And in Mark's gospel, this work is often described as works of power. Jesus has been showing the people what God's power looks like. That God's power is different than Herod's power, than Rome's power. God's power does not lead to cruelty and pain and death, but to compassion and healing and life. The one we are called to follow does not use power for his own gain or to make himself look good, but to make life better for those who are suffering, to heal those who are hurting, to show God's love for those who have been outcast, shamed, or mistreated. Our other readings today help to highlight this contrast. In both the Psalm and the Ephesian text, we get a picture of what the world is meant to be, of what God wants for it. We hear words like peace and steadfast love, grace and forgiveness and hope. We get the image of all people drawn into God, gathered up and adopted as God's children. This is the image of what God wants for the world. Love and care and peace. Grace and forgiveness. That is what God created us for. That is what God wants for us and for all of creation. This is the good news that Jesus came to share. God sent Jesus to show us this new way, to show us how to live lives that help build up this better world, a world where God's love for us is what gives us worth, not what other people think of us. A world where people are not used, but cared for. A world where power is not used to control, but to serve. Some days it takes a little more work to see it. But the good news is that God is here, actively at work in the world, loving and healing and carrying it in all its brokenness. The good news is that God is actively at work using God's power to build a better life for all people. Thanks be to God. Amen.